This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're joined now, as we are every Wednesday, by Washington Nationals General Manager Mike Rizzo. He's brought to you by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are doing well. You are back where you belong. You're in Chicago. Are you inundated with friends and family that want, you know, to hang out with you, maybe go out to dinner, and you're like, hold on, everybody. This is a business trip. I'm here with the Washington Nationals. We're here to play a few games. We have to conduct business here, even though I'm from Chicago.
Exactly. Actually, I belong in Washington, D.C. That's where I've been for the last 13. But I did grow up here. I love it in Chicago. Chicago in the summer is one of the great cities in the country. And yes, it's whenever we visit the Cubs and the White Sox, it's extremely busy, family time and, getting back together with old friends and that type of thing. But it is a business trip. These are some grinding road trips. And so you don't have as much energy and time for family and friends as you would like. But I think everybody understands, I've been doing this for a long time with coming in through Chicago. And I think everybody understands and kind of lives with it. They get free tickets, so they don't complain too much.
They get the free tickets. Perfect. And you have to feel better about things because you guys are playing much better baseball. And one of the guys who's contributing is Anibal Sanchez, who had a horrific start, but in the month of May, 21.1 innings pitched, 1.66 ERA. He's got 28 strikeouts in those 21 innings. What's changed for Anibal?
I think he's a healthier pitcher right now. I think that he started the season coming out of spring training. I don't think he was 100% perfectly ready to pitch or healthy to pitch. He had that hamstring issue, like I think in his second start of the season. It wasn't that devastating, so he kind of pitched through it and then finally hurt it later on during the season. But I think that when he's come off the disabled list, he strengthened his core muscles and his lower body, and I think that you're seeing the effects of it right now. His command is much better, and he's a pitcher that's reliant on to have pinpoint accuracy with all his pitches, he's inducing the soft contact that we saw in the last couple of years, and I think that he's becoming the pitcher that we envisioned him when we signed him.
And talk about kind of the spillover effect of when you have better production from the back end of the rotation, and you'll be getting good production from Fetty as well, and what that means to your bullpen, which of course struggled so much earlier this season.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. Our starting pitching leads the league in innings pitched. So they've done their job. They've lifted their load and our bullpen has taken over and pitched much better the last 4 or 5 weeks and that has kind of shown in the standings also. But as you get consistent starts out of all five guys, you don't have to be so reliant on your big three and go into each and every series saying, man, this is a must win because the back end guys aren't doing well. So Sanchez is a consummate professional who's had success in the past. Eric Fetty looks like he has turned the corner and become the starting pitcher that we've envisioned him to be, and a guy that I think is going to be a mainstay in the rotation for years to come, and a guy that we're really going to lean on. So you combine those guys with the three strong front of the rotation guys. I like the rotation. I think it's back. It's back in form, and it's flowing pretty good. And I think one guy kind of builds off the other, and there's some good synergy that goes along with that kind of competition for the starters.
What are you seeing from Trevor Rosenthal trying to work his way back up to the big league squad at this point? What's his game look like now?
Well, his game looks like, you know, he's a big physical horse. He's in as good a shape as anybody we've got. So it's not lack of work. It's not lack of effort. It's you know, this guy grinds it out on the backfields in Harrisburg for a long time. Now, this guy's a former all-star pitcher and all-star closer on championship caliber clubs. So, you know, he took a big leap of faith with himself and to go down and right his ship. You know, he needed some mechanical tweaks. He hadn't pitched in 18 months competitively, before spring training this year. And the remnants showed that his mechanics weren't where we wanted him to be. So he's improved those. He's gone down and worked extremely hard with Micah Tejera, our AA pitching coach. And we kind of see a guy that's still trying to figure out, the command of the fastball. It looked like in the last couple of outings in Harrisburg and on his rehab that he commanded his breaking ball better than his fastball. He kind of showed that last night, but induced some soft contact. And after the initial walk, looked like he found the strike zone pretty good. And when he's in the strike zone, his stuff is really good. So he's an upper 90s, 100 mile an hour fastball, and he's got a devastating breaking pitch. But, you know, strike one is the most important pitch in baseball, and he has to master that before he can move on to some higher leverage situations.
Mike, as we know, this is an issue that happens with Tommy John guys, right? They go through this, the control issue.
No, I think you know, the Tommy John guys, and we've gone through a boatload of them. So we know these protocols pretty good.
Yeah.
The command of the pitches is the last thing that usually comes.
Right.
And some guys are 14 month rehab guys from Tommy John, and some guys are 18 to 20 months. It's something that you have to kind of rework the way you use your arm, and I think the most important thing is that you can't think about it. You got to just trust it that the ligament's going to be is fine when you let that thing go and snap off a slider or let a 100 mile an hour fastball go. You have to just know it and not worry about where it's going and how it's going to feel when it leaves my fingertips. So I think that it's all part of the process, and hopefully Trevor is over the hump and can start helping the bullpen improve, because there's some guys have stepped up and the bullpen has pitched much better in the month of June. They've been really solid, so we're upbeat about that.
I don't want to belabor it, but just, you can answer in 10 seconds or less. It's not like a Rick Ankiel situation, right, where all of a sudden the guy just can't throw strikes. You know what I mean? That's not what we're talking about.
No, I think this is a physical ailment that he had to overcome. You know, he had a surgery, and then when you start off so poorly, that's when it gets into your psyche and into your mind, and we kind of had to fight that battle on both fronts, the Tommy John rehab type of thing, and then also the confidence factor that you can rely on these things to get it done.
Joined by the president of baseball ops and GM of the Washington Nationals, Mike Rizzo, as we go in the clubhouse, brought to you by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Let's move over to the other side of the ball. And one of the catalysts, you expected it all season long, and since he's been back, it's Trey Turner. And in the last 12 games, he's hitting .340, almost hit for the cycle recently. Talk about Trey's importance to this lineup and what he does.
Well, he's as important to the lineup as any player that we have, pitcher or player. You know, he plays the most demanding position on the field. He's the captain of the infield and plays a premium position as shortstop and is one of our offensive catalysts. So, you know, he's a huge part of our ball club. When he went down, it hurt us very, very badly. He won't say it. He won't use it as an excuse. But this guy played with that finger that was fully healed. But he was probably not 100% swinging the bat. You could tell he would have his finger off the bat quite a bit and launched a few bats into the screen and that type of thing. And was kind of just gutting it through till he got a really good feel for that hand and that finger. So. I think he's starting to kind of round into shape, and after missing so many games, it takes time to get your rhythm at the plate and in the field. And I think you're seeing a guy that's finally confident enough in that finger that he can go and play his game. When he's healthy and he's on, he's as dynamic as any player in the big leagues. And we need him to be healthy and playing well.
Mike, another guy we always seem to touch on is Howie Kendrick. I mean, what he's doing at age 35 is pretty remarkable. 11 home runs, 40 RBIs, hitting .333. I know that we've touched on the fact that you wish you could play him a little bit more, but you know you have to manage however many days he plays. You and Davey have to do that. But what he's doing at the plate is pretty unbelievable.
You know, we call him a professional hitter. We knew that when we got him. But I didn't know what kind of professional gentleman he is. He runs the clubhouse. He's the consummate leader on the bench, in the clubhouse, in the community, and he's a terrific player. He's having an outstanding season too. 35 is one thing. How we always talk about players' ages in this non-steroidal days of baseball. But 35 coming off a fully ruptured Achilles tendon at his age and playing the way he has played is remarkable to me. And a guy that has shown a propensity to get big base hits, use the entire field offensively, and put on a power display that he's put on is remarkable. This guy hits tough pitching and good pitching as good as anybody we have. And a guy that, to me, when you strip everything away, this is an all-star player for us. And he should be joining those guys in Cleveland in the all-star game, because he's literally carried this club offensively from day one. When we've had 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 hole hitters out of the lineup at the same time, this guy carried us and has performed admirably for us.
You know, Mike, sometimes real life intrudes on Major League Baseball and other sports, and sadly we saw that with the David Ortiz incident, the shooting in the Dominican a few days ago. Do you worry about your own players heading back to, countries like the Dominican or Venezuela or wherever they come from that have incidents like this and might have higher crime rates than obviously here in the United States? Do you worry about Robles, Suero, and Soto when they head back?
Remember, we had it with
Dominican.
Ramos. We had it with
Ramos with the kidnapping, obviously, many years ago. Is that something that always is in the back of your mind when these guys head back to their native countries?
Yeah, it's in the back of my mind. It's in the front of my mind. It's on my mind all the time. It's real. It's a real thing. It's a real thing that we think about. And there's I had the unfortunate circumstance to go through this painful ordeal with Wilson Ramos, and it was really one of the most influential parts of my development as an executive, was when we had to go through this. That, those things are not in the general manager's handbook. When you're talking to Interpol and FBIs and stuff like that about a player being kidnapped and shot at and that type of thing. These are real, real life situations that puts baseball on the back burner. And we try and do everything we can for our international players, be it Venezuela, Dominican Republic, Asia, or anything. And we work hard at getting into helping these guys get visas and green cards and that type of thing, bringing their families over and doing everything we can to make them more comfortable and more safe in their environment. And it's a real problem, a real issue that MLB in general has to attack, and we as individual baseball teams have to really attack, because these are our families, and these guys go back to places. And if you've never been there, it's I always tell our guys, we feel pretty comfortable down there because we have our scouts down there. They lead, they take us around and that type of thing. But there's always a bullseye on your back of being a baseball person in a foreign country. And it's something that you really have to be cognizant of and really be careful about, because those dangers are real, and we realize it. And it's something that we talk about and do things about each and every day.
Mike, wanted to get your thoughts on the KD situation the other night. It reminds me, and a lot of people probably, of the way you guys handled the Strasburg deal. And I preface my question by saying I don't think anybody protects their players better than you do. And I'm not asking you to be critical of the Warriors, but you saw how emotional the GM was after the game. What kind of were your thoughts when you saw that? Did it make you think of the Strasburg deal at all? And, do they regret, you think, letting KD go out there and try to give it a go? I mean, props to KD. I mean, the guy put his financial future on the line there in a lot of ways. What were sort of your thoughts?
These players want to play. They're ultimate warriors or ultimate competitors. They want to play. Somebody's got to be the adult in the room and say, no, This is not good for you, and if it's not good for you, it's not good for us. I can't speak one. I have no knowledge of the KD thing. Although it was sad to see one of the great players, right, you know, hobbling off the court. But I know what we do here in Washington, you know, players first, organization is second. And I think that you reap those benefits in the long run, because players know you care about them. You know, their futures and their careers are paramount to us, because, you know, they're what people come to see. Nobody comes to see Mike Rizzo be the GM or owners be owners or umpires be umpires. They come to see these players, and that's what we have to protect. We have to protect their longevity, their careers, we have to make them comfortable knowing that we have their back in all situations, even if they don't agree with it.
Nobody comes to see you, but we hope people tune in to listen to you.
Yes, exactly.
That's important for our future.
Certainly it is, yes.
Hey, it's must hear radio.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, Mike. Absolutely. Always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week. Best
Keep
of
it
luck.
Going, buddy.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Yep.
All right, man.
Thank you, Mike.
That's Mike Rizzo, GM and President of Baseball Ops of the Washington Nationals, right here on The Jungle.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to a Game Show Wednesday presented by MGM National Harbor. Every day is monumental at MGM National Harbor.
That's right.
Believe the ambassador will be going to see some props today as soon as the show is
Shocker.
Done.
Very cool.
So I will be in the poker room. Probably around, I don't know, 10:45.
Have you had dinner
15?
At all the spots? Because I'm setting up this 50th birthday for our buddy Stumper at Voltaggio, which is always great. I'm just curious. I've been to.
We have any gift cards for
Voltaggio? I'm forgetting the name of it, the one that Jose Andres has.
Fish, there. Ricky.
It's called Fish.
It's just called Fish.
It's called Fish, not
okay,
Fish Ricky. It's Fish.
That place is great, too.
It's very good. Fish. I don't think I've ever eaten at the. Is it a Japanese place that's kind of up front towards the lobby?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That
sushi
is,
restaurant?
I believe that's not. The sushi spot is Bento. That's in the market.
No, but there's another
there
like
times.
Noodle spot. Maybe.
Yeah, another
yeah.
spot. Ginger.
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 Jason loves
there?
To say ginger.
That's a good spot.
I have not hit that spot. Yeah. But Voltaggio twice.
All their restaurants are legit.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Yeah. At those nice places, the restaurants are always good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shockingly enough, I have not partaken in Shake Shack at MGM National Harbor.
You know what?
Yet.
I've never been there either.
Shake Shack.
You know why?
Because
the lines are always deep.
Mm-hmm.
They're always deep.
Is it a sponsor? Can I say something that I...
Oh, you
they
don't
haven't
like...
been a sponsor,
you should always say
as far as I know.
Nice and raving things about
There's
them.
One right around the corner. It,
there's one of
it
those
opens
spots...
at 10:45, I think.
Yeah.
There's one of those spots where they only serve like fried food. Is that Shake Shack?
What's I don't the know.
I mean, a lot of
serve,
places.
What's they the serve one? Burgers?
The burgers and everything. Everything's fried. Like the chicken. Everything. Literally everything is
Hamburger.
Fried.
Okay.
Is it Shake Shack? Is that the one that's
Hamburger.
Famous for their burgers?
I mean, Shake Shack does have great burgers. They're also famous for their shakes.
Right. I think it's Shake Shack, though.
And their shakes.
You can't find anything that's not.
You can't find grilled chicken. That's what you're looking for?
A grilled chicken, sure. Or a
okay,
grilled
it's a
fish. Or anything that's.
I mean, you might not find it at Five Guys as well. Five Guys pretty much has burgers.
They have a mediocre grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese. That's right. I forgot. Kids menu, grilled cheese.
I'm not sure it's kids menu. Maybe it is. But they put it on a burger bun.
No, it's a full-on regular menu item.
Yeah.
Shake Shack does
okay,
have a.
Five Guys has
Shake Shack
like eight
has
menu
a
items,
crispy
so.
Chicken breast.
Right.
So I'm not sure if they offer the grill.
They definitely don't because I had to pick off all the fried part.
Yeah, but that's the.
Chicken.
The fried chicken's money.
Of course it is.
I'm trying not to stroke
that
out.
Bad?
No, but I'm trying
like
to stay.
One fried chicken sandwich is going to kill you.
Well, at one point when my cholesterol was a certain level, I thought might have.
Chicken.
They have a mushroom burger. I know because I got it.
Yeah. Oh, you got that.
But I also don't eat red meat.
Because Cokie got it.
Wait a second.
No, it's only mushroom.
It's just a mushroom
yeah,
that looks.
It's just a shroom burger.
It's the shape of a
burger.
Yeah,
it's a big mushroom.
It's a big portobello mushroom.
I actually like that. I like a big portobello mushroom.
I would punt that thing straight into the sun.
Wasn't that the time that my buddy Cokie had lunch and you wanted to like look like you were cool, so you copied his order and
regret. Yeah, he looks silly.
You thought, well, he looks money, so I'm going to eat
money.
What he eats.
Yeah.
Well, you can't. Yeah.
But he's naturally silly, and you're naturally
silly, black, fit, and I didn't want to get a double cheeseburger.
So you got like a burger wrapped in lettuce.
He just looks cool.
Yeah. Black guys are cooler than white people. Yeah. Well, it's not even close.
By the way, he gave the commencement at Magruder this year.
Ah, very good.
It's an honor.
It certainly is. He followed in
two commencement speakers.
Yes, you do.
Cakes and Coke.
Yep.
Cakes and Cokie.
Correct.
Right. I literally, there's not a circumstance where I would do it. There's not a circumstance where I'd be asked, but there is no circumstance where I would do
it. Oh, if somebody could pay you enough, you would do it. If there was a monetary
incentive.
It would
have to be a lot of money.
Yes,
it would have to be a large amount of money because I would feel bad for the students.
You would just tell them. You would say, I feel bad for you, but I'm getting paid an obscene amount of money to give you a bad speech.
I don't really
want to
be here.
Better.
Make them feel good. I don't really want to be here.
Right. No.
But I couldn't turn down the money.
I'll say yes to one or two of those things, but generally afterwards I'll feel regret. I did a speech, I think our buddy John Orand asked you, and then you pawned it off to me.
Exactly.
And I feel bad for like saying
do.
No.
I gauge it and I go, Cakes would maybe do that. JP will do it.
I said yes, and that one went fine. But when I did the celebrity roast for David Falk, and I did that because
I wouldn't have done that in
super
in a
nice.
Years, I would
He's super nice. Did our table manners show.
He says
stories. My wife would run into him at the gym all the time. And so I said yes. But then I saw Steve Buckhantz come up after me. Like I was the MC, I guess. I introduced the roast.
So you were too nice.
He was so much better at it. It's like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Well, but
what am I doing?
This is my one problem with JP. JP always thinks he's great at everything.
No, well,
so why would you
think
you would be a great roaster?
I didn't think. I wasn't a roaster. I was the.
He was the MC.
He was the MC. I wrote jokes for JP, and I thought I wrote the silliest jokes ever for him.
Right.
He wrote some. It was fine. Most people said he did a good job.
Like pig roast,
but then what I. Then, like, Buck went up there and he started grilling, like, what I was wearing.
Sure.
Had, like, my best suit.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a Jones.
Well, that's what I think what roasts are. You just joke on everyone.
I understand that.
Right.
But I just recognize that would, like.
It's not your milieu.
Even though Valdez gave me some jokes and
of
them hit, a lot of them didn't hit.
That's why I turned down everything. Because I know I suck at everything else. I'm moderately good at this. I suck at everything else in life.
And Falk was very appreciative, so I did it because of that.
Yeah.
And he'd come on the show, and it was a good thing to do. But it was out of my element.
Eric, this joke I wrote was so silly for the roast.
All right, I said,
you actually remember the roast?
Because it was, I mean, it was a
Jeff
10.
Jeff Ross?
It was a 10 out of 10. It was a 10 out of 10.
All right, let me be the judge. Do you want to set it up with some other jokes before you get
no,
there?
No, no, no.
Just the
joke.
Yeah, it's the Gary Williams joke. Right. So Gary was there. And so JP went on the stage and said, you know, this place, it's a very nice venue. It's a 4-star venue.
Right.
It's a 4-star meal.
Yeah.
We have 4-star guests here. It's amazing that Garrett could actually find it. It's all 4 stars.
I think we went with 5 stars.
5 stars, whatever.
Right. It's like 2 stars, like Joe Smith.
But you understand that's a personal pet peeve for Gary because he sent like 20 guys in the league.
Right. They're all 3 stars.
The problem was there were a bunch of Gary's boys there.
Yeah, of course.
First of all, 400 people.
It was a silly.
200 people not paying attention. And like the 20 people paying attention.
That's not right.
Like, oh, it's blown.
But
out.
I mean, Gary's likely to bite your head off.
Right.
He's like that little a-hole. He's just done nothing in his career. How dare he?
Does he have a national championship?
Yeah, what was his reaction? His facial.
It wasn't great.
It's a roast. It's supposed to be
he
mean.
He was sitting like below. Like I was on a podium and I was introducing
him. Did you literally get crickets with that
thing? I think for that one I did. Like people looked at me like, I can't believe
you said that. Hey, you would have laughed. You would have laughed.
Worse, that or me saying the Flyers are going to win in front of 20,000 cats?
That's worse.
Well, that is worse.
At Verizon Center. That's probably worse.
That was bad.
Mine was worse.
Yours was worse.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Because I have to preface it because we have new listeners all the time. People don't get this. But one of the bits years and years ago, 15 years ago, we had a website, Always Bet Against Cakes.
Yeah, somebody
and it
established
was actually a huge part of the show.
Cakes has an uncanny ability to feel super confident about certain picks. And then they're dead wrong.
I mean, just He can't, I mean, the guy's a winning poker player, but he can't pick a winner in gambling.
No,
he can't even pick a winner when it's on himself. He paid us each $100 because he said he would never bet on the Redskins in prime time.
I forgot.
Yeah, he did it.
Forgot that.
And we made him pay.
That'll never happen again.
Yeah, right.
We're just not going to do that.
So Cakes, and it was I will admit, it was a huge part of the show, always bet against Cakes, to the point where he was coming in the show pissed off. Because we would ask him for, what's your biggest thing? Right. And he would give it to us, and it would hit.
I mean, you literally bet against
him. We would bet against him every day.
I should have faded myself every day.
No, I think it did get to a point secretly where he hated us. Because we were reveling so much in his losing.
I just wanted to pick a winner. I was convinced I was picking winners.
And many listeners followed along.
Right. But again, at the end of the day, if we get like an 8, I guess last book we got like a 9.8 share, right? That means we're killing it, okay? That means
Radio Insider.
That means 90.2% are not listening to us, right? So the vast majority of people aren't. So Cakes thought that we were so huge that when we did this bit, this halftime thing or whatever, intermission thing at the Caps game, that all 20,000 people were Junk's listeners, and they knew that if they asked Cakes who was going to win, that he would jinx them by picking the Capitals.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he said, well, the Flyers, of course.
And it was the booing was just...
I mean, unbelievable. He misread.
I was
it's
public
the biggest
enemy
misread
one.
Of a room in world history.
It was bad.
Yeah. Now, there's about 100 junks.
Let me know. Small victory. The Flyers did win the game.
That is true. And everyone hated you.
It's a minor feather in my cap. Okay.
Right. By the way, my buddy who was at that Falk Roast just sent me a text and said Gary was definitely salty at the joke. Because I wasn't necessarily focusing on his face.
But you know what, Gary lighten up? Because
Gary's been great
to us.
That
means you were doing
it. Come on, it's a roast.
You're doing your job. At a roast, you're supposed to goof on people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Valdez's joke worked.
No, it was a great thing.
That was a great thing.
You play that later today on your MP3.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm Mark 93504.
Yes, exactly.
He's got a couple of new ringtones. Pick me up.
By the way, iTunes is going away, right? We talked about this. It's all streaming all the time.
Well, it's splitting into iTunes Music, podcasts, and movies.
So how's it going to work? OAR just came out with their album. You know I support OAR. We all do. Anything. Mighty. I purchased that on Amazon. I'm an Amazon guy.
That's the name of the album?
The Mighty, OAR, whatever. So I purchased it, downloaded it to my phone, so I have it wherever I go or whatever. In the future, is that going to go away too? Like, I'm not going to be able to purchase albums? Like, if I want to do that?
You should have the answer.
I don't know. I don't have
the answer. If iTunes is going away, does that mean Amazon Music's going to go away? Like, I'm going to have to... Ultimately, it's going to save me money because instead of buying, say, 10 albums a year for $100 or whatever, I'm just going to pay the $10 a month.
Is Amazon Music really going away?
Well, if iTunes is...
Have, like, a Spotify account or you don't do Spotify?
We have that. Right. We have that. But I like to kind of...
You like to have the physical...
Well, like I listen to a whole
album.
It's
not even physical. It's just a download.
At Spotify, can you even listen to a whole album?
Sure.
I'm sure you can.
Of course you can.
Of course.
But...
In order, the whole thing.
Like when I'm with my daughter, we just pick different songs and we listen and we sing together.
I know.
This says the iTunes name will fade away, but Apple will keep the store in the music app. You can call it up if you want to buy new songs or albums.
Right. Like if you want to support an artist...
Yeah. That can't go away. There's too much money involved.
Yeah. And I actually like to feel like I can call that music up whenever I want.
Well, here's
whether
how
I have an internet connection or
By the
not.
Way, just to, we're doing like old school things that have happened. Didn't Jason have a listener one time transfer all of his music onto a phone?
I don't remember that.
I think he took all his CDs and made him put him on like an iPod or something.
You definitely employed a listener to do something like that.
Probably.
He loaded up an iPod, but he probably couldn't find right
now. 15 years ago. Oh, yeah, it's gone. Long gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he met a listener for Propel in a parking lot.
Was it Propel or was it Gatorade?
Yeah, it was Propel.
I think it was Gatorade.
I thought it was Propel.
I know he sold golf clubs to some dude like out of his trunk.
Hey, I got $300
at a premium.
He was getting video games out of his trunk.
Him and JP jumped on the back of a train.
JP who did that.
Jason told me a bill of goods.
That's the nubbiest thing in history. JP caught a moving chain. Train.
Jason told me, he's like, you got to call my guy. He's an Amtrak hookup. He was his Amtrak. And I showed up and the guy said, okay, hold on. You can't go on the train when everybody else is
going
on the train.
You got to wait till it starts running.
I was like, what's going on here?
Hey, let's not let this jeopardize our Amtrak endorsement that we have going on.
A good point.
That's good.
I don't know, but JP looked like
we've
Gina,
moved on. We've,
Gina Davis in League of Their Own.
Yeah, we've evolved. Yeah, we don't do those things anymore.
It was hard to run with that stick and a knapsack tied around.
Well, I know the nubbiest thing I did.
Jason's going on a trip with two guys he's never met.
That's true. Yeah.
The nubbiest thing I ever did was when I...
Yeah, but he's not hopping on the airplane when it's a quarter of the way down the runway.
Right.
That's a ticket.
When Bridges jumping on the wheel of the plane.
I would if you told me that was the only way I'd get there.
Sure, the old Bridges rope.
When Bridges told us we could have whatever we wanted at the store, and all of us, except for JP. JP took one jean.
Man,
one
I took
belt.
Advantage of that.
I literally had two trash bags to the point when we were walking through that Fair Oaks Mall, yeah. I had to stop because I was getting cramps in my forearms.
It wasn't
even I couldn't. I had to drag the trash bags.
I remember cakes one time. Going out when they would do those bits in the parking lot. What they call
it? Tent event.
Tent stand.
Yeah. Cakes. Like their nubs. That was their nubs.
He brought his whole family.
I think I brought my. I think I filled up the entire back of my old gold Saturn that I used to push around.
The well, they did say take anything you want.
It was filled with flannels and t-shirts.
I took that literally.
It was so embarrassing. So white trash.
And then for Christmas, your brother Mark, your brother Ross, they all get the same britches shirt.
It was a britches palooza.
Literally no shame.
Oh, man. We are the worst.
So this embarrassing.
A bunch of white trash.
I don't want to feel like we've evolved now, but.
No, I don't think we have. Not, we've just gotten older. We haven't really evolved.
It's 7 o'clock, and we're begging Valdez to contact Bethesda Bagels.
Totally out of cover.
By the way, it was great.
What?
Bethesda Bagels was excellent.
It was awesome. Thank you to Mike. It's Mike, right?
Yes. It is Mike. Yes. It's Mike.
Yeah, Mike Bethesda.
I told you, once I get something in my head, I can't get it out. My father always said he didn't know if my mom's birthday was September 28th or 29th. He would always say that to me. He was, is it the 28th or 29th? So it's gotten to the point I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's in late September.
It's late September.
Like the skins will be like 1 and 2 by the time your mom's birthday rolls around.
1 and 2.
Most likely. Most likely.
Some of us have them at 0-3.
Yeah. I think I picked them for 4 wins.
Dude, you realize it's sounding like it's trending towards Case getting the start the way, it doesn't thoroughly, but.
To get the start game week 1.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's trending towards.
I think we've all forgotten that Colt was supposed to be in the mix.
Well, yeah. We did go around the room and predict who was going to be this week 1 starter.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well,
I said Case. I don't know who you said. You probably said Case.
I'm team Dwayne.
I think I said Dwayne
getting benched for ineffectiveness.
Right. He's the wild card. All right, you were supposed to do EP this segment.
EP. I'm doing it back.
All right, Entertainment Page next here on The Junkies.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, though not today because there's a big company picnic that they're setting up for and apparently can't broadcast the show today. We'll be back live.
Live. They're showing Best of the Junkies,
Best of the Junks today. Live tomorrow.
I'm sorry. It's just bizarre that... It's just weird. The picnic must have started at 6 a.m. That's all I can
think.
It must have started.
But you do know that if you were in the situation of Doug McKinney and his great staff over at NBC Sports Washington, when presented with a day off, you would take it.
No. Here's in my opinion. Those guys should all take off. But they should have fill-in guys. So like the fill-in donks, you know, the guys that work part-time, that's when they should swoop in. That's what I would do.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
I think they're showing yesterday's show right now.
I know I wore that Expos hat yesterday.
I thought that was an EB hat.
Oh, it is the EB hat, actually.
Yeah,
correct.
EB.
Because it actually is supposed to be Expos baseball.
Kirk Cousins bit.
Right. Yeah.
Loves the Royals.
I did have a phase there where I was trying to find an EB hat, and people were sending me these awful like minor league hats that were just brutal.
By the way, if you're the head pro at Renditions, can you please tweet JP? He's asking me for his info. I can't find it.
Yeah, that guy hollered at me. I just hadn't followed
you
up.
You asked about it. Then
I just haven't followed up.
Yeah, he contacted us.
I would like
contact
to play
JP.
On
I gotta
Tuesday.
Follow up. Okay.
So I can't find it.
Reach out to us. You could tweet me at GlassJoeJP because apparently Valdez went through Twitter, I guess, and somehow lost the contact. So I'd love to get out to Renditions next Tuesday.
Right.
Just going to be in that area.
Well, I mean, you could. You just might have to pay full freight. I know that's not to. I know that that's, you know,
verboten. Nothing changes.
I understand.
Nothing changes.
You know what,
unless
Case,
we're on vacay, we don't do
maybe
that.
Maybe when I'm shooting low 90s, but I'm still in the 100 range.
Right.
No, thank you.
Right.
All right, boys, let's get back into the EP here a little bit. We were talking about Tiger.
As if low 90s was good.
You're getting around. Most people can't break 100. Yeah. Tiger Woods' ex, Elin Nordgren, shows off her baby bump in shocking photos.
Is she married to the West Virginia?
Why are they shocking?
Well, because for one, she's rarely photographed. If you Googled her name, I don't know if she has like a search engine optimization person that kind of gets her off the internet somehow. Okay. You're hard-pressed to find recent photos of Elin Nordgren. Mm.
Okay.
And is she married to...
I think she married some billionaire doll.
I think she was linked to... Now, my only reference is through the EP. I think it was like some coal billionaire, which I don't understand how you're coal billionaire in the year of 2019. Because my guy...
Coal or coals?
Coal. C-O-A-L. My guy bought me into a coal stock.
Yeah, it tanked.
Coal, C-O-A-L, years back. And I think we bought it for $21 per share.
Now it's 21 cents.
I wish it was 21 cents. It's 8 cents per share. And for some reason,
still holding it?
It's still in my coal folio. I don't know why. I look at it.
I get
salty every time, but I'm still an owner. Cloud Peak Energy. What a dog.
A photo picture, but I sent the story yesterday of Britney Spears. Like, she was photographed. Who is her boyfriend? He looks like a bodybuilder.
That Sam Hasgari guy. Yeah, he's just some boy toy bodybuilder looking dude.
She went on Instagram on her story
and complained that the paparazzi are doctoring her photos because she looks 40 pounds heavier in the photos. And then she was like, look at me. And she's in the gym. And, you know, she looks all hot, but she claimed that when they photographed her out with her boyfriend, like yesterday, that she looked like obese. So,
if she's still dating the same guy, it's Chris Klein. He's a West Virginia-based coal billionaire.
You're talking about Elin Nordgren, right?
Not the Chris Klein that was an American Pie.
Yeah, different guy.
Different Chris Klein.
Man, we're all over the place here.
Jakes, you want to invest in fax machines with me?
Might as well.
Hey, you want to play a game? Want to see if we can make Lurch cry in the last like 3 or 4 minutes of the show? So Felicity Huffman attended her daughter's high school graduation amid the whole admission scandal. How awkward do you think that was?
It's kind of weird.
So Jason was at graduation today, yesterday, and some listeners, I was talking about that Old Dominion song that I really get sized for, One Man Band, and the lyrics and all that.
Jeff Jones gets sized.
And people were texting me other songs. They're like, well, you should have Lurch listen to Tim McGraw's, Don't Grow Up or something.
My Little Girl.
And listen to that and don't cry. Or Taylor Swift has one.
Tell you how much I love you, though you think you already know. I remember I thought you looked like an angel wrapped in pink, so soft and warm.
How are we feeling over there, Lexi?
It's not hitting me yet. The one that hits me is Kenny Chesney's Don't Blink.
All right, do that one.
You beautiful baby, a lot of country the last 2 days.
I like country, dude.
Did you wear your sunglasses?
I couldn't. It was inside.
Could have done it.
Jason, you missed an extended.
It would have been too obvious. Had to be tough.
You missed an extended Judas Priest listening segment yesterday while you were gone.
Why? Just because I was gone?
Because you were gone, yeah. Okay.
Jason, do you know, you're a Taylor Swift guy. Do you know the Never Grow Up song by Taylor Swift?
I might if I heard it.
Somebody said,
I don't know it by title.
They listened to that at their daughter's pre-K and just lost it.
All right.
Pre-K.
I would if I saw, like, there were videos of her.
Hold on.
You know what I mean?
Hold on, this won't get you.
Or see, pictures.
Too bad we're on TV today.
Podcaster's favorite segment.
Maybe we could do this tomorrow again when the cameras are in.
Oh, darling, don't you ever grow. Don't you ever grow. Just stay this little.
Oh, if they did this as a video montage
of your
kid from, like, when they're born, like through the years.
Yeah, you're boo-hooing.
Oh, there's no way you can make it.
Here's
that.
Where I get, unless you're a monster, you're going to cry at the end of, you saw Lone Survivor, correct,
Jason? Yeah.
where they show the pictures of the real SEALs that died
at the very end.
The mission.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't cry during that montage, you're a full-on monster.
I think I did.
I think you should.
Yeah.
You guys are embracing this crying thing, and you kill me when I say that I watch This Is Us, which pretty much gets you to cry every episode.
Yeah, but
what is?
I don't even know what This Is Us is.
A highly popular show, which has won tons of Emmys on NBC. A drama.
I don't watch that.
It's a weekly tearjerker. See, I'm okay with the Tom Rinaldi every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. I don't need it every week. They do it on purpose.
Yeah, I don't need it every single week.
What do you think the songs are doing?
The songs do it, but I'm choosing it. I don't know. It's something about music. I like music. I don't know. More than I like TV, I guess.
I just know you joined on me for watching a show like that that's a tearjerker, but you're embracing listening to music, which can be tear-jerking.
Music is different.
What's the difference?
Music moves me.
I've gone on record saying that when I know a song's going to make me boo-hoo,
I change it.
Because I don't like to go to that
place if I can prevent it.
I usually go after it.
Oh, you do?
I want to feel that way. Yeah, I want to feel that way.
Why not?
What's that say about me?
Probably you're more in touch with your feelings than your boy Flakes over here. I don't know what it says.
You're just heartless.
No, Cakes has a giant heart.
Ticker right here. Big
heartless,
ticker.
Heartless
except
bastard.
For callers.
Right
he likes to belittle.
Or, he hates sometimes.
He hates the callers. No, I don't.
Or the callers he could steal from.
I think his heart is overstated.
Empty restaurants. I went to an empty restaurant this past weekend with my wife, and it was delightful. It was glorious.
Yeah, that's how much he loves people.
You really don't like to people watch?
No.
Like and forget about a restaurant anytime. Like the beach. You don't like the people watch?
No.
You like a deserted beach?
Deserted. If it was like a nuke went off, it was just us left.
So you don't like hot chicks walking around in bathing suits?
I mean, it's fine. It just doesn't really happen where I go to the beach.
I'm just saying. So, I mean,
for the most
part, you would prefer a deserted beach.
He just said he would like a nuclear disaster,
empty.
And he's the only one.
He wants the vacation at Chernobyl.
Yeah, yeah. I want to be Morrissey every day is like Sunday and just waiting for the bomb to go off.
I feel like he's a nice person.
We stayed at his mom's place in Bama for 5 seconds.
He had to get on the road.
He couldn't wait to leave.
All right, Granddaddy, they're next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.